License Commission hearing agenda, Wednesday, January 16th, 2019, at 2:06 p.m. We're in the Michael J. Lombardi Building, 831 Mass Ave, basement conference room. Before you, the commissioners, Jim Nicole Moratti Ferrer, Branville Bard, and Gerard Mahoney. First matter, administrative.
We're being audio and tape recorded.
First administrative matter, Board of License Commissioners, in accordance with their votes of November 7, 2018, December 12, 2018, and the Fire Prevention Regulation Appeals Board decision of November 28, 2019, will discuss and vote on what discipline, if any, should issue on count one of the matters heard on November 7, 2018, for Coffee Shop LLC, doing business as Upper West, holder of general on-premise all-alcohol license number 11587 and common victualler with entertainment license number 13296 at 1 Cedar Street D.
So this one, the first thing that I want us to do officially on the record, I know we talked about it on December 12th, but is to acknowledge receipt of the dismissal of the appeal from the Fire Prevention Regulation Appeals Board. There was an additional 14-day period of time where the licensee could have filed a request for a reconsideration of their determination. To my knowledge, nothing has been filed with them, and that period has now expired, so I'd just like to acknowledge receipt of this. Second matter before we actually step into what we noticed is, as you are aware, she copied all of us on it. Ms. Kim Courtney has and Mr. Xavier Dietrich have sent a couple of emails regarding this number, this agenda item. I will not summarize them for the record. I will say that I believe that they do not clearly represent what has transpired. But I do know that there is a request for a hearing on count one. I would deny that request as count one was heard along with the other counts on November 7th. The Upper West participated in that hearing. The entire hearing went forward. All the witnesses were present. They had an opportunity and did cross-examine and talk to the witnesses and even testified themselves as to all counts. And it was not until the board started to vote that we decided to find a violation on count one, but not issue discipline at that time or decide discipline at the time based on the Fire Prevention Regulation Appeals Board. So I would deny the request.
Okay. I concur.
Okay. With regard to the noticed item, I would say that based on the evidence that we heard on November 7th, our findings as well as Upper West disregard for the law, I would issue a suspension as to count one. I would recommend a 2-day suspension for count one. I would say that the 2 days for count one and the 3 days that we already imposed for the counts 2 to 4 be served consecutively for a total of 5-day suspension. And I would also stay the serving of the suspension pending the resolution of the appeal at the ABCC as we have already done for the 3-day suspension. That would be my vote on that.
Concur.
I concur.
Reconsideration of the fines issued to E.C. Hathaway during the hearing of December 12, 2018 for violations of operating without a permit and simultaneously operating leaf blowers on October 26, 2018 and November 12, 2018, and consideration of the statement of reason.
So So we found four violations during the hearing. One of them was based on a photograph that was submitted with the complaint, and one of those violations was the simultaneous use of two leaf blowers. The photograph that was actually submitted only shows two. It shows that there's another leaf blower, but it doesn't show it being used. So I would amend our vote and find a no violation for the simultaneous use on November 12th, and also withdraw the fine that we issued for that. So the rest of the vote would stay as is, which was a count of operating without a permit on November 12th and issuing a $300 fine for that, and then operating without a permit and simultaneous use on October 26th with a $300 fine for each, for a total $900 fine.
Concur.
And then I would approve the statement of reasons with those changes.
License Commission has received notice that Long Quan Juan Incorporated, doing business as Dumpling Juan, holder of common victualer license number 28777 at 465 Cambridge Street, is still under construction. They plan to open in February.
Court acknowledges.
The License Commission has received notice that Panera Brad, holder of common victualer license number 12245 at 174 Alewife Brook Parkway, has closed.
Board acknowledges license canceled, file closed.
Cafe Mammy Incorporated, doing business as Cafe Mammy, holder of common victualer license number 12201 at 1815 Mass Ave, has applied to change the manager from Juan Vidal to Michael Fang.
Juan Vidal, granted.
Al and J.C. Brothers Incorporated, doing business as Yuma Wokatari Udon, holder of common victualer license number 12240 at 1815 Mass Ave, has applied to change the manager from Juan Vidal to Michael Fang. They have also applied for a change of DBA to Yuma Ga Orkara. We've been advised there's a spelling error, but I have not received the new spelling.
Okay, I would grant this to the manager. I would also grant us the change of DBA and just put a notation that we should just make sure that it is in line with what they give us with the new business certificate so that we get the spelling right.
Cafe Nero Americas Incorporated, doing business as Cafe Nero, holder of common victualer and entertainment license number 12293 at 589 Mass Ave, has applied to change the manager from Iron Bradley to Liz Davis.
Granted.
Attorney Peter Klein has notified the License Commission that Jesus is Good Cab Incorporated has purchased medallion 109 from Progressive Credit Union.
Board acknowledges.
Shiger Cafe, an Ethiopian restaurant, holder of common victualer alcohol and entertainment license number 12233 at 2376 Mass Ave, is requesting a change in hours from Monday through Friday 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. to Monday through Thursday 5 p.m. to 11 p.m. and Sunday 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. to Friday through Sunday 12 p.m. to 11 p.m.
So basically they're asking to close at 11. We had our investigator, Tyler Bubenek, went to this location at November 30th and found that they were operating at 10:05 p.m. Their closing hour was 10 at the time. I'm sorry, 10:30. So they had already been told that their closing hour was not what they thought it was. Considering that it was just 5 minutes, that 11 p.m., per the statute, they're entitled to operate until 11 p.m. I would grant the change of DBA and allow them to operate until 11 p.m. I know that Investigator Bubenek has gone back and they haven't been operating past their current closing hour. And what I would do for this license premise inspection that he did, rather than having a hearing on it, just put a warning, send them a warning letter as to it. This was very close in time to when they were informed, which they thought they, you know, they were mistaken or whatever. So that's how I would vote on this.
I concur with that.
I agree.
Fresh Start Venture Capital Corporation has notified the License Commission that they have sold medallion number 18 to Wilner Joseph.
So here, yeah, that's the warning letter one, and then the next one is the application. Fresh Start?
Yes.
Board acknowledged.
Patrick Coburn, on behalf of American Construction, has applied for a special noise variance from January 24th through April 1st, 2019 at 92 Winthrop Street, weekdays from 9 p.m. to 7 a.m., and Saturday, Sunday, and holidays from 9 p.m. to 7 a.m., applicant number 29513.
So according to this, if they want to do this to not disrupt the businesses, I would, there were no objections from internal departments on this, so I would vote to grant with the condition that they need Sunday work permits.
Okay.
I agree.
And I think the Sunday work permits issue has changed a little bit. They have to get something from DPW first and then Cambridge Police, but I'm sure the Cambridge Police can tell them the process on that.
Alexandra Afiang, on behalf of President and Fellows of Harvard College, holder of education, excuse me, educational alcohol entertainment license number 17002 at 1315 Mass Ave, is relinquishing the entertainment license at said premise, amending the name from Riverview Commons and Conference Suite to Riverview Commons, and is amending the alcohol license to reflect that the premise is approximately 8,400 square feet on the 10th floor of the Richard A. and Susan F. Smith Center. The space can be accessed via 6 elevators and emergency exits via 5 stairwells, 3 of which are contiguous to the premise. The areas for Harvard-affiliated guest access include 6 lounges with a combination of flexible soft seating and tables and chairs, a bar area, a game room, a hallway with seating. The non-guest areas will include a kitchen and 5 storage or employee-only areas.
So this is actually a license that we granted under 138 Section 14, a special license. There is no relinquishing of the license because it has not yet issued. The building is still being finished off and getting final sign-off. So I would just say that we take away the entertainment as they applied for it. Change, accept the change in terms they gave us a new floor plan in terms of where this Chapter 138 Section 14 license would cover, and I would not proceed it forward until we get clarification from ISD that these that they finally have everything squared off in terms of the final sign off.
Joe Toomey, on behalf of Walsh Brothers Incorporated, has applied for a special noise variance on January 21st from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. to 11:59 p.m. for dump truck, concrete trucks, and handheld tools. Application number 30047.
This is actually at 189 Bizarre Street. They're already covered by a special noise variance, but not for Martin Luther King Day. So I would grant with the condition that they need a special holiday work permit from CPD.
Okay.
consideration of Hackney license renewal for Manjeet Dendal Malaku.
This is a renewal where the person already has four moving violations. Officer Vito has recommended that we approve it with a one-year probationary period.
Or wait, no, this might be a record issue.
I have a question about the record.
I think Officer Zito's here. Officer Zito? Or no?
Is there just a...
Oh, no, here. Officer Zito, that's...
Is it just an issue with driving record, or is there something else?
Your recommendation.
The recommendation on the.
Oh. I think he has an open case.
I would.
You would deny.
I would deny.
Okay.
Pending the outcome of the case.
All right.
And he does have four.
Okay. Okay. So deny pending resolution of case, and then we can reconsider at that point.
Reconsideration of approval of noise variance issued to Dan Blumberg on behalf of W.T. Rich Company on November 27, 2018 for work at 850 Cambridge Street for use of heaters during off hours from November 22nd through May 15th. Application 27397.
We asked the city staff to come for this. This is a city variance. If
yes.
you could please
yes.
come up. Take a seat.
Sure.
If you could please tell us your name and spell your last name for the record.
Yep. My name is Brendan Roy, R-O-Y, and I work for the city manager's office.
Thank you.
Project manager.
Kate Riley, and community relations for DPW, R-I-L-E-Y.
Thank you. Oh.
Dan Blumberg, W.T. Rich Company.
Tyler Bubenik, B-U-B-E-N-I-K. Cambridge License Commission licensing investigator.
Okay. And I'm sure you all know that we brought you in because we got an email from a resident, Ms. Rachel Benedict, saying that she had received no notice in terms of this variance and that the noise is bothering her to the extent that it's affecting her life. And I sort of wanted to get a take of what had happened in terms of abutters notifications and...
Yeah, I can probably take that. So with the construction project, we work with W.T. Rich, the contractor, and DPW to get notifications out. Every week on Fridays, we typically send out a notification to all of our abutters and anyone else that joins the email list.
So do you send it only via email?
Yes, I think...
For larger, like, big changes in construction, we will send a flyer to the surrounding area. But for weekly notification, we send an email.
Okay, for this particular noise variance, how did you send notification?
So, for the when we started this process with the heaters for concrete placements and such, it had still been via an email. And that was roughly a year ago. When we renewed the permit, we hadn't had a need to use the heaters. The first time we'd used them, I believe, was January 7th, these external heaters. And we forgot to send it in that email flyer the previous Friday. So that was our issue.
And why do we need the heaters?
So
it's
temp heat for the building. Currently we have gas-fired heaters, which are fairly quiet. I don't want to say they're silent, but they're fairly quiet, have had no issues. There's an Eversource vault along Berkshire Street. There's only one way in and out, that's per Eversource, and in order to heat that space to do the finishes inside it, we had to run a diesel generator on the outside, pipe into it, heat that space. it's just part of our schedule to heat that space. We had fired it. We should have put the flyer out sooner, but that was the need for it.
Okay. And is there a continued need to use these heaters?
I'm going to ask Dan. I think there's still going to be some future finish work in there.
There will be. We're currently not using them, but I'd say if it's not next week, it would be the week after. It might be a day or two, including the nighttime, like overnight, that we would need to run it in order to heat a masonry area, a brick veneer, just because the temperatures are down below freezing.
Okay. And so based on what you just said, I know that Ms. Boyer had forwarded the follow-up email that we got from the complainant about just running them not overnight, so basically not during sleeping hours. What you're telling us is that that cannot happen?
Yeah, because honestly, during the day, we don't need the heaters. It's overnight when it drops below freezing is when you do need the heaters.
So when do we plan on sending out notifications about that if we haven't already? About the future.
We meet with Dan like on Thursdays, and he gives us a schedule for the following week. And once he identifies that, it goes in our flyer email, and it goes out on Friday afternoon.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, we know right now the nights that we want to use it.
Not yet. It's like all phasing, so I have to wait to get certain other parts done in order to close it in with the brick.
Done, then you move on to the next one.
Where is is the complainant complaining about, is it a generator that's running?
It's a heater.
It's a diesel-powered heater.
Diesel-powered heater. Where is that physically located? On Berkshire Street?
Yeah.
On the Berkshire Street side of the property?
Yes.
Do we know where the complainant resides?
Yes.
She's directly
148
across the street.
Berkshire. She's directly across.
And you took... Did you take readings?
I did. The last time I was there was last Saturday. I got a reading of 59. And also I want to add that the complainant's actually located in a commercial zone, so that doesn't constitute any violation. I will say, though, that the generators weren't running on Saturday.
Oh, okay. Yeah, this past Saturday.
They weren't running.
We don't have what the levels are when they are running.
No.
I'm sorry. I do believe that it's part of the documentation.
The heater no longer at the location has been moved to another area. Is that right? Is that going to remain where it is now?
I think we just shifted it down a little bit to try and help out the situation.
Unfortunately, where the Eversource vault is,
uh-huh.
The last piece of brick veneer is literally like 20 feet north of that. It's like the last piece of the building that's trying to tie in. Yeah, it's further.
So you have this is on Cambridge Street, obviously. So that the heater and generator are behind that gate? Roughly?
Yeah, it's further down on the left. You see where the building bumps out?
It's further this way?
Yep, and then down.
And then back about...
Back on Berkshire. So
yeah, yeah, further down Berkshire Street.
Perfect 100 recipe.
100 feet. Yeah, it's definitely not ideal.
My take on it is they need... It's kind of a, for lack of a better term, a necessary evil, because otherwise the project is just going to continue to get delayed. And...
If I could just say, I mean, we're definitely not trying to abuse it by any means, and we are trying to be very close with these guys looking at temperatures. If it's going to stay above 32, we won't run the heaters. If it does go below it, we say we kind of have to.
I understand,
Was that your understanding as well?
We did try running hoses from the gas-powered heaters because it is a lot quieter, but going 100 feet out with hose, by the time you get to the, you're shooting cold air.
It's ineffective. Right?
Yeah.
So basically, as you're doing this project and you look at your upcoming week, you look at what you're going to do and the temperatures, and then that's when you make the decision, the educated guess, as to whether or not you're using them the following week?
Yeah, unfortunately, I think we're at the point in the season where if we're doing the brick veneer, it will have to stay on overnight. I don't see us getting much more.
Okay. And this Ms. Benedict, who was unable to come in today, was she on your mailing list, your email mailing list?
Yes.
Okay. And are we sure that we have everyone that would be affected by this?
I don't know that.
I know that we're now doing, you know, the City of Cambridge, we're moving towards electronic communications and all that stuff, but if you don't have everyone's email, that's still not, I mean, that doesn't comply with the noise variance.
Okay.
Requirements or the city ordinance on it.
Okay.
So I would really push for flyers, especially if you know and that this is going to be a problem. I'd also ask you to include our investigators in that email so that okay. they are aware. And if we get complaints, they already know, or they can field any questions that they may get. Also, I want them to get a reading with this running so that we have sort of a sense of what exactly we're talking about. And then maybe talking about, I don't know if baffling is something that can happen or that should happen, but.
Okay.
Yeah, like I said, it would probably be about 2 weeks or so by the time the next instance happens. Okay. So we can pull the investigators in and try and take a reading.
Have either of you had conversations with this particular complainant?
I did, yes.
And?
I was the one that explained to her that a special noise variance was in place for, you know, heating apparatus for the school. And that's, I think, when she investigated that, you know, she had not received notification.
Well, you did say that she is on your email list.
She is on the email list.
No.
She has always been on the email list.
Okay.
Yep. We incorrectly, we didn't include that previous Friday we had forgot to include the heating issue.
I got you. Okay.
Can I get clarification on the flyering? So would you recommend that we flyer indicating that there is a noise variance in effect, or do you think we should flyer every time you think we need to use the heater?
I think you need to assess whether or not you have everyone covered that might be affected by the noise of this heater in your email notification. If you do not, then I am asking you to leaflet the area and everyone that lives in it so that they are aware of when the heater is going to be used.
Okay.
So with that said, once again, you know, we reaffirm our grant of this noise variance, then just with the conditions that we've already stated to you guys in terms of notifications and including our investigators and coordination with the neighbors, okay?
Cool.
And I'll just acknowledge receipt of the complaint and follow-up communications from Ms. Benedict. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Attorney Peter Klein has notified the License Commission that Progressive Credit Union has transferred ownership of Medallion 124 to Walnut Cab, Inc.
Give me a sec.
Yeah.
Board acknowledges.
Minutes from the December 12th hearing.
Branson. Nice and heavy.
Consideration of statement of reasons for matters heard on November 7th, 2018, which would be 1071 Cambridge Street, doing business as BISC. Third Street Associates Incorporated, doing business as Russell House Tavern. Hoppy LLC, doing business as The Boathouse. Chizimba LLC, doing business as Felipe's Taqueria. And Star Gas and Electric Company, doing business as Eversource.
Approve this to all.
Matters heard on December 12, 2018. Nicolazzo & Sons Landscaping LLC, Landscape LLC. Dante Mazzioli, doing business as Dean Mazzioli Associates. Landscape Collaborative of New England Incorporated, doing business as Landscape Collaborative of New England.
Approve this to all. Ms. Linton, you're, can I see the posted agenda? I just have my draft copy. I just want to check whether we can move on to one day.
Okay.
10 if you didn't put the time that we were going to start them.
I did not.
Okay, we move on to one days at this point.
Patricia Weinman, on behalf of the Boston Opera Collaborative, has applied for a wine with entertainment license at the Laundry School of Music, 27 Garden Street, on January 17th through 19th from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m., and January 20th from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. for a reception with theatrical exhibition. 35 expected, applicants number 28692 and 29031.
Granted. With regard to the alcohol one, there must be a limited number of drinks. I would say two associated with the admission price. Otherwise, and thereafter, the alcohol has to be sold. With regard to the entertainment, granted as applied.
Luke Cervantes has applied for an entertainment license to be exercised at Math Ave to Holyoke Street on January 31st from 2:45 p.m. to 3:10 p.m. for a parade.
I would say granted pending submission of city permit.
We received them.
Okay, so granted.
Eliza Rafferty, on behalf of the Catered Affair, has applied for a malt and wine license at Harvard Art Museum, 32 Quincy Street, February 7th from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. for a reception with 400 expected.
Granted.
Brittany Smith has applied for an entertainment license at Cambridge Masonic Hall, 1950 Mass Ave, on January 27th from 1:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. for a private role-playing banquet.
Granted.
Similolua Falaco has applied for an entertainment license at 59 Shepherd Street, February 2nd from 10 p.m. to 2 p.m. I think that should be 2 a.m. for a party with 400 expected.
Granted with the condition that a police detail is required.
Alexander Maciel has applied for an all-alcohol with entertainment license at St. Anthony's Church, 400 Cardinal Medeiros Avenue, on February 16th from 6:30 p.m. to 12 a.m. for a dinner dance.
Granted with the condition that police details required.
Bill Manley, on behalf of the Harvard Square Business Association, has applied for an entertainment license at Brattle Plaza on January 26th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. for a chocolate tasting event.
Granted.
Bill Sullivan, on behalf of St. Paul Parish, has applied for a malt and wine with entertainment at St. Paul Parish, 29 Mount Auburn Street, on February 1st from 7 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. for a jazz night.
Granted.
Jason Bond, on behalf of Bondier Restaurant, has applied for an entertainment license at the restaurant, 279 A Broadway, on January 27th from 5 p.m. to 11 p.m. for a dinner with poetry and music.
Granted.
Jerry Finnerty, on behalf of Shaughnessy and Ahern, has applied for a special noise variance on January 19th at 152nd Street from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. for a crane and tractor trailer.
Chief Investigator Boyer, do you know, when I reviewed this, I had not seen police sign off on this. Do you know if they signed off?
I did get sign off from
the. Did they require a police detail or anything?
Is that, which day is it for?
This is the one that's happening January 19th.
They would
for a crane and tractor trailer. They usually require police detail for this.
Well, what they would do is just everybody has to request for one, and
yeah.
Then it's with someone signs off.
Okay, so I'm just I would vote to grant with a police detail if required by CPD.
Right.
Sure.
Shelley Neal, on behalf of the Multicultural Arts Center, has applied for a malt and wine license at 412nd Street on January 17th and February 3rd from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. and 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. for a theater performance.
Granted.
Then we have.
I have it.
Oh, you have that one. Edward Breed, on behalf of Skanska, has applied for a special noise variance on January 21st through 24th at 401 Mass Ave from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. for a mobile crane to disassemble a drill rig and a tractor trailer. It's a city project.
Granted with the condition that a special work permit from the CPD is required.
Okay. Jacob Luria has applied for a malt and entertainment license on January 19th from 8 p.m. to 12 a.m. at the Masonic Hall for a family reunion.
Is it January 19th or did they just put January 2019? I haven't seen that.
Carr said it was for today. I mean, for Saturday. And we checked the times on the letter when
they
are.
Okay. This is for a malt license. Granted, and there's no police sign-off yet, so I would say granted, and if a police detail is required by Sergeant Kill when it's necessary. Break and we'll come back at 3 p.m.
Back on the record at 3:03 p.m. First matter, consideration of renewal Classic Restaurant Concepts LLC doing businesses in Boca, 8 Holyoke Street. Common Victualler, all alcohol license number 11545 to consider the rejection of...
If anyone in the doorway, you either have to be completely inside or completely outside, not blocking the doorway. Thank you. There's some seats up here. Ms. Courtney, if you can free that up, unless you're saving it to someone, that would be great. Thank you. Thank you very much. And just, I know that we start our administrative at 2 p.m. as noticed on the agenda. We're now moving on to public testimony matters. You're being audio and tape recorded. Go ahead.
To consider the rejection of the renewal application and or cancellation of the license for non-use in accordance with General Laws, Chapter 138, Section 16A, 23, and 77.
And Booker, you could please stand up and raise your right hand.
Swear the testimony you're about to give to be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your name for the record, your last name?
William Goodwin, G-O-O-D-W-I-N.
Thank you. And Mr. Goodwin, we had an informational hearing in late 2017, and we voted for 9 months out that we have a cancellation hearing, but then we move that based on the current lawsuit. I know that you sent us recently more documents in terms of the lawsuit that has been joined with another establishment, right? To move to a business section? Business litigation session of the supplementary report?
It's two different suits and it's combined into one. It's
yep.
The Harvard petition to move it to Suffolk out of Middlesex.
Okay. Do you know if there's a hearing scheduled for this at all in terms of when the court's going to hear this?
Well, I forwarded you an email from our attorney on December 31st. The judge ruled and did the consolidation, et cetera,
mm-hmm,
and moved
mm-hmm.
it to Suffolk. And he's optimistic that we should know by the end of the month, early February, a court date.
Okay.
And as soon as I have it, I will forward it to you for your knowledge.
Okay. I think, based on the current lawsuit that specifically relates to this license and the business that was there, I would vote to grant this licensee additional time to have this matter resolved. I would take it off sort of our track until we hear from the court in terms of what's the next step in the court case, and then at that point we decide whether or not to put it on for consideration or anything like that. In the meantime, Mr. Goodwin, you are represented by counsel in that lawsuit, correct?
I am.
I would ask that you inform your attorney that it would be beneficial to this board if he or she can provide us a stance as to whether they believe us taking action on this matter would adversely affect your case. because I would not want the board to take action that would sort of impede your current action that was filed before this matter started before the board.
I will.
Okay. Everyone good with that?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chairperson. Thank you, board.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Receipt of the multiple filings of the court that we received on that.
Application, Luna Sassine for a new Cambridge Hackney driver's license.
Good afternoon. Please take a seat. If you could state and spell your last name for the record.
Luna Sassine.
I need you to speak up because we can't hear you.
Okay. My name is Luna Sassine, last name S-A-S-S-I-N-E.
Thank you. And I noticed in your application, it looks like you've never been a taxi driver before, is that correct? Do you currently have a lease agreement, or are you working out a lease agreement to drive a taxi at this point?
Okay.
And why are you seeking a taxi license, or a taxi driver's license?
Because I want to have my husband. He now has a lease in Italian because he left in Italian. He was had three, but now he left it.
So your husband currently leases a medallion?
Yeah.
Okay. And you have no current open cases in terms of your driving record or anything, correct? Based on the application, I would vote to grant the application.
Concur.
Granted, you will meet with Officer Zito, and he will give you the rules and regulations and also issue you your license. Thank you. If you can wait around, because we have one more person, and then you can go upstairs with Officer Zito. Okay? Thank you.
Application, Rose DeVille has applied for a new Cambridge Hackney driver's license.
Rose DeVille? Okay, this is the third time
That's
we schedule
her.
I would just take this off the agenda, and Officer Zito, unless we have something in writing from her as to when she can show up, I'm not going to keep rescheduling this. Thank you. And we'll give you that please as well. Thank you.
Application, Tex-Mex Eats, LLC. Doing business as Tex-Mex Eats, 1193 Cambridge Street. Application 28614 for a new common victualler license with seating capacity of, it's actually 46, correct?
Yeah, that was a typo on their application.
Total occupancy of 32, so that doesn't make sense either. Proposed hours of operation 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. Thursday, 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Friday and Saturday, and 11 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. Sunday. Amanda Escamilla, as proposed manager of record of a premise described as on the first floor street level, approximately 1,000 square feet. Restaurant is divided into three areas. Front dining area is open to public access, as well as bar seating. Kitchen is located separately, slightly to the back, with opening to expedite food to dining room. No access to the public. Toward the back of the restaurant are bathrooms open to the public. Storage areas include the dry pantry, refrigerated walk-in located towards the back of the restaurant. Additional refrigerated and freezer storage is located within the kitchen area. Additional dry storage is located in the basement. Entrances to premises is located at street level, front door, and the exit is located towards back of premise next to walk-in.
Tex-Mex?
Hi.
Hi. Thank you. Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your name for the record?
Sure. My name is Amanda Escamilla. My last name is spelled E-S-C-A-M-I-L-L-A.
Is it Escamilla or Escamilla?
Escamilla.
Okay, gracias.
It's okay to say it the way it's supposed to be said. We'll try and match it, I promise. That goes for everyone.
I will try.
Thank you.
Okay, so can you text my...
Excuse me, you need to either come in the room or be outside of the room, but not in the doorway.
So it looks like you're going into the old Tupelo location, is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
And I know Ms. Lynn mentioned it, but based on the application, there was a mix-up. You typed in 26, and then you later amended it. It's been changed to 46, and
yes, ma'am.
The commissioner has approved that seating capacity as being the current seating capacity approved for that space. Can you tell us what Tex-Mex is going to be about?
Happy to do that. So I am, you know, basically I have a catering business, and I've done a lot of business in the Cambridge and Somerville area, and I produce a line of tamales, and I cater Mexican Tex-Mex food, and I do quite a bit of pop-ups, and I have in this space before and other pizza pie-related spaces, and I'd like to come in and do this a little bit more regularly. It's sort of a short-term. It's a short-term concept, but to be able to pop up and at that space for a short-term regularly and be able to introduce some other Tex-Mex eat specialties to our community.
So are you doing the tamales based on the northern type of recipe or the southern type?
The northern part.
Okay.
The northern part of Mexico and the southern part of Texas, where I'm from. Yes, and so I'd like to do not only tamales, because if I didn't do that, I think they'd probably knock the doors down. So I want to offer something else in addition, because people always ask, you know, where can I find you? And so this space came up where I've been permitted before to use to produce my products. And so this was sort of an opportunity, a business opportunity for me to take advantage of through with Renee to open up and try some other of my recipes. And so originally I thought I would do just a few nights a week because I have a family too and got to make sure that I can do everything I commit to. So I thought 4 days a week, three nights, and one brunch would be something that would be somewhere in the middle. And I realized that on my application, I put 9 o'clock, which is would be probably the last seating, potentially. But it really meant probably to be open to 11 if it went well. We would like to, I wonder if I could make that amendment.
Okay, so right now you'd like to change your closing hour on Saturday.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday at 11 p.m.
Okay.
And then Sunday would be from 11 to 3, being that the last seating would be at 2:30, that kind of thing, just to have a little flexibility with
people. You're going to kick someone out in 30 minutes?
No, I wouldn't kick them out in 30 minutes, but I wouldn't be able to serve after that, right? You wouldn't be able to serve.
So when do you think you'll tell the person, leave my establishment?
I hope I don't have to do that. I guess it would be at 3:30 probably.
Okay. So let's okay.
Just in case it came in at last minute.
So for the record, you're amending the closing hour of Sunday to 3:30 p.m. and the closing hour of Thursday through Saturday to 11 p.m.
Yes, ma'am. Please.
Okay.
Thank you.
Do you guys have any questions?
No. Not really.
Okay. Anyone in support of this petition? And for the record, we have received a letter from Councilor Toomey in support and also from the East Cambridge Business Association in support.
That's awesome.
Are you in support, sir?
No. Could you clarify seating versus...
No. Anyone in opposition to this petition? You may ask those questions after the hearing.
Okay,
with that, I would vote to grant.
Granted
with 46 seats, 46 total occupancy, and hours of operation as amended at the hearing, meaning closing hour of Sunday at 3:30 p.m. and closing hour of Thursday through Saturday to 11 p.m.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. What should I do after this?
You will receive a letter from our office with the instructions on how to complete the rest of the process.
Super.
Okay.
Thanks
Thank
very
you
much
so
for
much.
Your time. Appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you. Good luck.
Application, Blue Bottle Coffee Incorporated. Doing business is Blue Bottle Coffee, 88 Ames Street, application 27065 for a new common victualler license with seating capacity of 20, total occupancy of 40, proposed hours of operation of 6 a.m. to 10 p.m., 7 days, Stan Moore as proposed manager of record of a premise described as 1,490 square feet. Seating is in front, kitchen food prep is in the rear, is an open space, and almost everything is visible.
Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your name for the record?
First name is Stanley, last name is Moore, M-O-O-R-E-R, just the spelling of the last name.
Thank you.
Your name, sir?
Peter Meyer, M-E-Y-E-R.
Thank you. And this is not your first venture in Cambridge, correct?
No, we have a location in Harvard Square.
Yeah.
Okay, and then cool. We also have a location in 100 Federal and another location in a Prudential building.
In Boston.
Yep. And this would basically be the same concept?
Correct.
I would propose amending your premise description, and let me know if this sounds right to you, to 1,490 square feet, seating in front, and the kitchen and food prep in the rear.
Okay. As opposed to,
and basically the seating, and it is an open space and almost everything else visible.
I like your version.
Yes. Thank you.
Just a little cleaner.
Yes, definitely.
Okay. Do you guys have any questions? Okay. Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Okay, I would vote to grant.
Just a housekeeping issue. I did not receive abutter notifications. Paul Gibbs said there were no abutters, but he was going to confirm that for me.
Yes, so he forwarded on what he had. So
okay.
That's what you need.
Is that what we need?
Yes.
All right. Granted.
Thank you.
And again, you'll receive a letter with next steps and how to complete the process. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Application, Tria Cambridge Concessions, LLC, doing business as Free Point Hotel, 220 Elway Fork Parkway, common victualler, all alcohol license, 11569, application number 27354, for a pledge of license to PGIM Real Estate U.S. Debt Fund, REIT, LLC.
Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your name for the record?
Good afternoon, Madam Chair. Chief Commissioner Andrew Upton, UPTON, for the licensee.
Thank you. And are there going to be any changes to the operation, do you know?
There will be no changes to the operation. This is a $35 million loan to upgrade and refresh the hotel.
And there is also no changes to the concessionaire agreement?
None.
Okay. Any questions? I would vote to grant.
Grant.
Concur.
Granted. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
The next matter, Merit Hospitality, has been continued to January 30th. Application, P.F. Chang's China Bistro Incorporated, 100 Cambridge Side Place. Common victualler, alcohol license number 11395, application number 29172. For a change of manager to Haider Mouafakri. I'm sorry if I did miss.
Okay, why don't you tell us how to state your name, please?
My name is Haider, H-A-I-D-A, last name Fakri, S-H-A-H-L-A.
Thank you very much.
My middle name, Mouafakri.
Thank you. Let me take a seat. Good afternoon. Could you please state your name for the record, counsel?
Good afternoon again. Andrew Upton, UPTON, for the licensee.
Thank you. And I couldn't tell from the new application, I think they got rid of the question, whether you have been an approved manager of record on a liquor license before.
No, that's a good thing.
Okay. Can you tell us a little bit about your experience in the food and beverage industry?
I've been in this company for almost 10 years. This is my first job in the United States. I start like from the bottom. I move up a little bit. So. Now I'm GM. So.
And you've been with the company 10 years in this
almost.
Location? Have you been?
I work like almost everywhere in this state.
Oh, okay. So you are familiar with the rules and regulations of this board, DABCC, and the laws of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts with regard to the sale and service of alcohol? And do you understand that we expect you to stay up to date with those rules, laws, and regulations? And are you TIPS or 21 Proof or have any safe serve alcohol?
Yes, we do.
Training. Okay, if you can provide that to us, that would be great. Thank you. And with that, do you guys have any questions?
Nothing.
Okay. I would vote to grant.
Concur.
Granted. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Application, D.D. Ames Street, Pendle, LLC, doing business as Dumpling Daughter, 73 Ames Street, common victualler, wine and malt license number 14027, application number 29030 to add 26 seats to the existing mezzanine.
Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Could you please state and spell your name for the record?
Nadia Spellman, N-A-D-I-A-S-P-E-L-L-M-A-N.
Thank you, Ms. Spellman. And this is the mezzanine that's on top that you were just using for kind of storage type?
Yeah, so originally we thought that it would be good for private events and or storage. There's an office up there. There's a third bathroom up there. There's a storage room up there. But after being open a couple months, we realized that people really like dining in. And so they wandered upstairs themselves and started eating there. So then we had to clean it up. And then when Brandon showed up in December, he said, oh, I just noticed that you're not licensed to have public seating, that you can have private events, but not for the public to go upstairs. And so we've had to rope that shut in until the hearing and apply for the extra seating for upstairs. Especially in the colder months, we realize that people don't like to go right back to their office. So they like sitting upstairs and getting away from their work.
Okay. I do want to clarify for the record so that it's crystal clear that the licensee, this area is actually licensed in their current CV wine and malt license, but they didn't have with seating. So it's just the addition of seating. It's not an alteration of premise application. But do you guys have any questions? Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Okay. With that said, I would vote to grant. I would just like to make it very clear that it's granted for the use of Dumpling Daughter only, and with the conditions on the current license, I've also crossed out the name of Vester on this current floor plan, and that's how I would grant it.
Granted.
Thank you.
This is the affidavit.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Just give me a second.
The noise really is carrying over here, so you guys are going to speak all the way down there. Thank you.
Application 3G LLC, doing business as Mex Taqueria and Bar, 500 Technology Square, has applied for a new common victualler all alcohol license. Proposed hours are 11 a.m. to 1 a.m. all days, with seating for 113 inside, 132 occupancy, 42 patio seats on private property, 48 seats with an occupancy of 52 on the rooftop. Eric Quadrino is proposed manager of record. Premise described as three floors, with first floor consisting of bar and dining area, second floor dining, third floor bar, dining area, and outside deck. Patio seats on private property. Applicant is also applying for an entertainment license to include recorded music above conversation level and three TVs.
Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your names for the record?
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Commissioners. My name is Kevin Crane, C-R-A-N-E. I am the attorney that represents the petitioner. My office is located at 104 Mount Auburn Street in Cambridge.
Thank you.
Eric
Quadrino, E-R-I-C-Q-U-A-D-R-I-N-O.
Thank you very much.
I also have DeLeo Susi. He'll introduce himself as well.
Hi, DeLeo Susi, D-E-L-I-O-S-U-S-I.
Thank you very much. Go ahead, counselor.
First of all, I have my abutters.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the board, Mr. Quadrino owns and operates Mexicali Burrito, which is located at the present site, which is 500 Technology Square. It's one of the six or seven buildings that constitute the entire Technology Square campus. He's operated Mexicali Burrito there for a little bit over 10 years, and he also operates Mexicali Burrito, little window shop down there, 350 Kendall Street, I think it is, in the garage entranceway. He's also involved as an owner at the Salmona restaurant just up the street. Mr. Susi is an owner and operator of Salmona, and he also is the owner and operator of Amelia's Trattoria at the corner of Harvard and is that in Portland?
That's in Portland.
Okay. So the board should be familiar with the fitness of these operators. They've never had any problems at all in any of their locations. The proposal before you is to really convert the present location from a fast order food establishment, which is what it's categorized as now, into a full service sit down Mexican restaurant. There'll be a significant investment in upgrading the property. As far as the floor plan is concerned, I believe you have it.
I did ask for follow up in terms of I don't have the floor plan for the patios, for the patio and the roof deck.
It'd be on that one.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, the layout consists of on the first floor, there would be actually 42 seats outside on the patio. Inside would be 48 seats, consisting of 14 bar seats and 34 regular dining seats. There's also going to be occupancy of standing on the first floor of 15. The second floor, which is a brand new floor. The present location is really just the first floor.
Okay.
And the second floor will be 42 seats with 42 occupancy. The third floor, which is probably the roof right now, is going to consist of 23 seats, 11 bar, and 12 seating with an occupancy of 23 there. And the deck will be, it's outside deck, roof deck, of 48 seats and four standing.
With a fireplace? Is that what the fireplace is? That is it. I'm looking at the outside, yes. Yeah, okay, that's what I wanted to know. Okay.
And on the second floor, there'll be an opening towards the first floor as well. The hours of operation are from 11 o'clock in the morning till 1 o'clock a.m. Again, this is a full-service Mexican restaurant, which in the immediate area, one does not exist. I think you can probably get a taco at many different establishments on the go, probably in the immediate area, but there's no full-service family-type sit-down Mexican restaurant. I do have a proposed draft of a menu as well, which again I think would reflect that it's a sit-down restaurant, reasonably priced. The most immediate Mexican restaurant is probably Chipotle, which is down the street, and that again is a fast food type operation, not oriented towards sit-down dining. As far as the entertainment goes, we'd be requesting a license for recorded background music above conversation without amplification. I believe you do have a couple of letters of support, one from the Kendall Business Association. And I'd just like to point out really three points that are made in the letter from the president of the association, and they all would be points that would support the granting of the petition. The first point is that There's reference that there's currently no existing full-service Mexican restaurant and bar in Kendall Square. Secondly, that the location here and the focus of this particular operation would be to draw traffic and foot traffic further down Main Street, activating the location between Central Square and Kendall Square. There seems to be quite a push by the city to encourage street activity in this particular section of Main Street.
And this patio is actually private, correct?
The patio on the first floor, it's all on private property, Madam Chair. And the third point from the President's letter is that it's an independent restaurant, you know, not a corporate franchise-type restaurant at all. And we also have a letter of support, which I think you've received from Councilor Toomey. And again, he makes the point about, the first of all, the fitness of the operators, the public need for it, particularly that it would generate street activity and recharge this particular section of Main Street.
Councilor, I don't have the one from Kendall Square, so if you do have a copy of that one, I'll take that one. I do have Councilor Toomey's letter. Thank you.
And I do have a minimal list of support from patrons. It was only put out the last day or two, so that there hasn't been quite the volume that we'd have in other cases.
Thank you. I did notice that now that I know and understand your third floor plan, I want to clarify, we did have the floor plan for the deck. But I did notice that the capacity that you have for inside on our application and what you've represented today and what's on the floor plans is different from what's on the ABCC application.
It's probably different because I think the questions are confusing. They're inconsistent. The ABCC one is different from yours. My memory serves me. They categorize the is a question of whether the roof deck would be outside seating.
Okay. But basically it's the same. So if we do approve it and we send it with the numbers sort of broken down as the way that they are broken down in our application and your floor plans, that's what you're seeking?
Yes.
Okay. And I also noticed the proof of funds. We needed affidavits because they're joint accounts?
Yes.
Do we have those affidavits today?
I don't think I have those today.
Okay. Counselor, I know that the ABCC has changed this a couple of times, so maybe you know better than I know. Do you know if they're still asking for 3 months of proof of financial or 1 month is enough? I was under the impression that it was 3 months. If that's the case, you only provided 1 month? Again, this is an ABCC requirement. If we approve it, I'm happy to send it up like that, but that might be something that they'll require.
Thank you.
Mr. Quadrino, I do note for the record that you have been an approved manager of record and have had no disciplinary issues with the local board or the ABCC. Is that still correct?
That's correct.
And are you up to date with the rules, laws, and regulations with regard to the sale and service of alcohol? Yes. And do you understand that we expect you to stay up to date with those rules, laws, and regulations? And are you TIPS or 21 proof for safe service?
I'm correct. Yes.
And we need your certification of that sent to us. Thank you. With that said, I didn't have any more questions. Do you guys have any questions?
I don't.
Anyone in favor of this petition? And for the record, again, we'll note that we have received what Councillor has presented to us today. Anyone in opposition to this petition? With that said, I would vote to grant the application pending receipt of the affidavits. Granted. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Quick question. What is... I have it here somewhere. Orchata soft serve. Are you actually doing an ice cream of orchata?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. Cinnamon, vanilla base.
And what's a plantain split?
Kind of a take on a banana split.
Okay. All right, thank you.
We should have brought a gift to submit like a problem.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Chief, let's stop the other day. Thank you.
Application Sumio Chang Restaurant, doing business as Sumio's, 273rd Street, holder of common victualler, all alcohol license 11578. Application number 28214, change of ownership interest and issuance transfer of stock and a new stockholder.
Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your names for the record?
Good afternoon. I'm Martin Chan and the board. My name is Wei Jia, counsel for the applicant.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear
counsel
you.
Counsel for the applicant, Sumio Chang Restaurant LLC.
How do we spell your last name?
It's a WEI, first name, last name, JIA.
Thank you.
Thank you. And good afternoon. My name is Jin Li Wen, and last name spelled W-A-N-G.
Thank you.
Sumio Chen, last name T-H-E-N.
Thank you. Okay, I'm not quite sure if you have received, Counselor. I know that this came up with renewals, and there had been a few changes. The ABCC current... based on the ABCC's records and our records as to who are the current disclosed beneficial interest holders, they are different from what's on your current application. Now, I did notice that you submitted the manager's sort of transactions, and that might well take care of everything, but I think you need to amend your ABCC application to reflect what the ABCC currently has, which is what we also have as the current structure, and then where you're at now. Well, with that said, I'll let you explain everything that has transpired,
sure,
but
sure.
I'm just going to throw that out
okay.
there just
right,
right now.
Okay.
Okay.
We have included a summary of the transactions
yep.
in the application package, which basically reflects both the original or beneficiary and the members of the LLC, as well as the transactions that took place for the past 2 years since the grant of the license,
mm-hmm.
and also the additional contributions made by the current existing members.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to go back and look at what ABCC are the numbers, but this should be reflected as is right now, the members of the LLC.
I mean, they're not big discrepancies, but they are discrepancies. So
right,
again,
right.
you need to make sure that everything's in line. And like you said, I think the way that the summary of transactions explains everything, but since you have the summary in terms of capital contributions and percentage, and then the next one's just capital contributions, I think that's where it might have gotten lost. I'm not sure. So I would just give this back to you for you to look at.
Okay.
All right. And just make sure that you have everything sort of in line. But with that said, if you can explain to me what the current structure is,
all right.
I'd appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, as I said, that has been several of the members, former members, they have decided to sell their membership interest back to the LLC, which is listed on the summary. And the LLC also admitted additional members with additional contributions. And there's one member that her membership was terminated by the LLC. And in order to capitalize the LLC operations, existing members also put up an additional contributions. So I believe the current total investments are $2,300,000.
Correct.
Actually reduced from the original $2,500,000.
And has there also been issuance of stock?
There's the issue of a membership interest. It really is percentage-based membership interest.
Okay. And Ms. Chen, you continue to be the one with the most benefit on it, correct?
Yes.
And counselor, have you explained to your clients that these transactions cannot transpire until they are approved by both the local board and the ABCC?
Certainly, they understand.
Yeah.
And also, I believe
There is an ABCC form, but there's an additional page. I don't know whether you have a chance to take a look. That should complete whatever left on the previous pages.
Yes, I have the additional pages.
You have that.
Yeah. Okay. Again, you know, it's the discrepancies are not huge, but they're okay. But it's not the same
I'll
as what's
look.
Currently.
Okay.
And again, I would just want you to match that up.
Absolutely.
I think the attachments explain everything. You know, obviously this was problematic, but your clients have filed for the correction of it,
yes.
And Ms. Chen continues to be.
Yes.
So as long as no profits are being distributed to anyone until they're finally approved.
Not yet.
Thank you. Okay, and I think, Counselor, I'm not quite sure, I have to look again, but your DUA and DOR certificates, do you know when they were issued?
I'll check.
I'll just caution you that depending on how long you take to clean this up, the DUA and the DOR certificates might have to be reissued.
They may ask additional updated.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you guys have any questions? With that said,
DUA
I...
DUA was November, I believe.
Oh, okay, then you should be fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
And at the... The Department of Revenue is, what is it? September.
Okay. Oh, the September
that's
one. That's the one you'll need.
Yeah,
so you should be asking for a new one right now.
Get ready for that.
Yeah. With that said, I would vote to grant pending counselors submitting an updated schedule of the current ownership as approved by the ABCC, a correction of his ABCC application, basically, of one section, because all the other sections line up.
Can we do it just online or just submit it in paper?
Oh, no, you can certainly do it online.
Okay.
And again, on the renewal record, we uploaded what's the current structure.
Okay.
So I know you have access to it. This is how this all came up. We
mm-hmm.
uploaded, and then I know that you came to the office and spoke to us
mm-hmm.
and informed us that this
right.
application would be coming, and it was forthwith.
Mm-hmm.
So just that, I would just, you can access it there, or you can go upstairs now and ask any of the staff members to print that for you so that you can compare what you currently have.
Okay.
Okay?
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Disciplinary matter, Chowdhury Incorporated, doing business as University Market, 1105 Mass Ave, wine and malt package store license number 11718, alleged violations of General Laws, Chapter 138, transfer of interest of the license without approval, General Laws, Chapter 138, Section 15A, 23 and 64, Board's Rules 2.3, 2. through 2.5, 5.5, 5.6, 5.7, and 14.
Hi. Red Bull Chaudhary and the owner Chaudhary Inc. 1105 Master Room, Cambridge.
Thank you. If you can please stay standing up, and ma'am, you as well, and raise your right hand.
Raise your right hand. Stay standing and raise your right hand.
Okay. Yeah, I did.
Okay. Do you swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but
yeah.
the truth?
Okay.
Well,
thank you.
You.
Please sit down.
And your name?
My name.
And how do we spell that?
M-A-H-M-U-D-A. Chowdhury.
Thank you. Please take a seat. I do want to note for the record that this was... You had applied for the change in ownership. The board that heard the license commission had approved that was sent up to the ABCC and was returned no action because of issues with the DOR taxes. yesterday we received a certificate of good standing from you in terms of DOR.
Yes.
So it looks like you've corrected that.
Yes.
But we have yet to receive, I mean, that this application is an old application. It was, I think it's since 2010.
Correct.
Yes.
So you're going to have to reapply for you have to reapply for the change. So
yes.
I know that you have, Mr. Chowdhury, I know that you've always been an owner.
Yes.
And have had a beneficial interest in the license.
Yes.
A majority, it looks like. But whatever changes, if you're not currently the owner along with Raviul,
yeah,
then you need to apply because your application from 2010 is no longer good. So it's great that we got the DOR, but you need to apply for the changes.
Also, be our own manager too, also?
Well, if you changed the manager, I was not aware that you've changed the manager. If you have changed your manager of record, you need to apply for that as well.
Yeah. Okay.
So is the ownership no longer Raviul and you? Okay. You're the manager of record. You're the approved manager of record. Yes?
Yeah, I'm not manager.
You're not going to be the manager?
She is the manager.
You're going to be the manager now?
Yeah.
Okay. So you need to apply for both of those changes. She cannot be the manager. As of right now, anything that happens, you're still the manager of record on that license.
Okay.
So until you apply and she's approved by this board and the ABCC, you will continue to be the manager of record on the license.
Okay?
Okay. And until there's an approval of a change of ownership, only you and Raviul can get profits from the sale of the alcohol on this location. Okay?
Yes. Yes.
I would vote for a violation, and as we have done with similar cases where a majority holder is still the person in charge, I would provide them time because of the urgency that I see in terms of the time that has passed of this matter. I would provide them until January 30th to submit to us an application. Before January 30th. We couldn't have it on January 30th because it has to be advertised. Hold on. Our next meeting is February 13th. So I would give them, I'd give them until January 30th to file the application.
Yes.
With us. If we don't have the application in by January 30th at 10 a.m., that day when we meet, I would say that we consider suspending this license indefinitely until they apply for the changes.
Okay. I agree.
Okay. Thank you. You have to submit the application by January 30th at 10 a.m.,
okay?
Okay,
tomorrow.
Okay.
Get it for application form tomorrow?
Yeah, I do. If you go up to the office, someone can show you what it is that you need to do.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Disciplinary matters, Shandong Dumpling House Incorporated, doing business as Dumpling House, 950 Mass Ave, common victualler wine and malt license number 11-11511, due to alleged violations of general laws, chapter 138, permitting a disorder, disturbance, or illegality on a licensed premise, to wit, over capacity, on November 16th, 2018, in violation of general laws, chapter 138, sections 23 and 64, and board's rules 2.3, 2.5, 5.1, and 9.
Good afternoon. Could anyone testify and please stand up and raise your right hand?
Stand up.
Would you both stand?
Do you swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Could you please, you may sit down. Could you please state and spell your names for the record?
Surely. Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the Commission. For the record, my name is James Rafferty. I'm an attorney with offices at 907 Massachusetts Avenue in Cambridge. Seated to my immediate right is the manager of the licensed premises, Wenwen Tsai, C-A-I. And to Ms. Tsai's right is Adam Bing, B-I-N-G. Mr. Bing is the principal and the ownership entity of the business.
Thank you.
Tyler Bubenik, B-U-B-E-N-I-K, licensing investigator with the Cambridge License Commission.
Thank you. Go ahead, Mr. Bubenik.
On the night of November 16, 2018, on a routine task force inspection, we inspected the dumpling house, found multiple violations, the first being exceeding the license maximum capacity, the second being exceeding the license number of seats, maximum number of seats, and the third being failure to post a capacity sign.
Okay, and can you tell us what the numbers were?
They were significantly over. To give you an exact number, I would have to examine the inspection form. In terms of capacity, we counted 138. The maximum capacity is 96. And in terms of the maximum number of seats, we counted 118 with an additional 25 folding chairs in the restaurant not in use, but in the front of house. And that's also a maximum of 96.
Okay. Did you speak to anyone that night?
I spoke with Ms. Tsai.
Did an explanation, was there an explanation provided to you or anything of that nature?
No explanation was given to me as to why they exceeded either of those maximums, no.
Okay. Thank you. Counselor?
Just one question. Mr. Bubenik, did you have an occasion to return for a follow-up inspection at the premises?
Yes, I did a follow-up inspection on January 12, 2019, 7:30 p.m., and I did not find there to be any violations at that time.
Thank you. Did you take account of the number of chairs at that time?
The number of people was 93, the number of seats was 96, and the capacity signs were posted.
Thank you. Was it the same day of the week?
I'm sorry?
Was it the same day of the
week? No, this was much later. The initial inspection was November 16th.
No.
What day of the week?
Oh, sorry. I'd have to look at a calendar. I know that the most recent, the 12th was a Saturday. The 16th, I would have to also look at a calendar to see what day of the week.
Friday,
because it was task force, that's right.
Go ahead, Counselor.
Thank you. Well, by way of background, it is correct. The license has a stated occupancy of 96. The floor plan approved by the commission also shows 96 seats. It is true, however, that it's a popular restaurant, so while the seating is at 96, there is a waiting area, so the occupancy is often in excess of the seating. The restaurant is located on the ground floor of a residential condominium building, and their popularity has proved a bit challenging. The restaurant is well-run and very popular, and oftentimes patrons are waiting for tables. Some of the residential abutters, particularly the immediate second floor abutter, has expressed concern when patrons gather on the sidewalk and sometimes create noise. So there's a vestibule area inside, and there are some seating areas depicted on the plan where people gather while they're waiting for seating. So when it's not...
But it's the maximum occupancy on the license, 96.
The floor plan shows 96 seats.
The license that we issue, does it say, it says seats 96 and it also has maximum standing and sitting. What's the number on that?
I'm not aware that there's a breakdown.
96. Okay.
But I don't think it addresses the standing question.
Yes, it does.
The license?
Yes, it does. So it has 96 seats and 96 maximum. If your clients want more for occupancy to also include standing, they need to apply for that, and they would need to get ISD sign-off and approval from this board.
Understood that. When I said it didn't address it, I meant it's silent. I don't recall a number associated with standing on the license.
Is there a number on the license for maximum occupancy?
Yes, there is. It's
so the maximum. The maximum takes into account seating and standing. That's what.
Can I say?
Well, then the floor. Well, can I just finish? So the floor plan, which was approved at 96, would suggest a slightly impractical assumption then that no one can wait for a seat in this restaurant under the occupancy limitation.
That's true. So that's why you would need to apply for it.
So that has been a condition since the license was issued. So when I say it's slightly impractical, because that's simply, I don't know of any restaurant that can operate under a structure where that no one can wait inside the restaurant.
Which is why some of the restaurants have either removed the seats or have applied to this board to have their standing also added to their license.
Right, which we intend to do. I just wanted to acknowledge up front that part of what's happening here is the fact that the 96-seat approval did not address a standing. Yet the plan, as approved, shows a waiting area. So it's 96 seats, and it does show waiting.
Does the plan also have a standing capacity listed on it?
No, it does not.
Exactly. So you would need to apply for it.
No, I understand. I'm not contradicting the notion, but
I just want it to be very clear. I understand what your argument is. I get your argument, but I also want it to be very clear for the record. You keep referencing the plan, but the plan as approved also does not take into account standing. So the board did not approve any standing. I understand the impracticalities of running a restaurant with no standing room.
Right.
But that's why you need to apply for
right, and which we fully intend to do and have begun the process to do
okay,
so. I
perfect.
Just wanted to bring, because there are two areas where we're exceeding 96 here. One is in the standing area that we are going to seek to remedy. I just wanted to point out that this wasn't, the plan in the plan as well as the commission knows, because we've been here before with issues with the upstairs abutter, that the waiting outside has certain challenges. And the good news is those issues have all been remedied, and there is a harmonious relationship between the upstairs abutter and the restaurant. So there were some people standing and waiting that evening, and we need to make amends. I understand the chair's point. I was just pointing out the fact that at the time that the plan was approved, it was contemplated. So we are in the midst of doing that. There was a second area, and we wanted to be candid in our factual representation here, that evening, Ms. Wenwen tells me they had two large parties that arrived with larger capacity than their reservation. And in order to accommodate them, there's an area in the plan here, and I'd offer it for the board's consideration, where there is outside the, if the board has the plan there, I could pass this one up.
Yeah, I don't have it here.
Okay. So outside the wait station, I've been here and toured the premises, there is an area where the employees gather, where they have a late afternoon lunch, and if you can see the wait station there, and there's a table and folding chairs put out there. That's where they fold the linens. That's where they do some of the prep work, because the kitchen is very tight. So there is that area that doesn't have seating and tables in it. So on that particular evening, a table that's usually broken down was brought out there, and the seats that exceeded the 96 were located in that area. So we're also looking at to whether or not, and having the architect see whether the building code would allow an additional capacity. But there, I'm just acknowledging that that's what occurred.
So are you representing that the 22 extra seats that were observed on November 16th are all usually employee seats?
Yeah, and they're usually not at that amount. They happen to have these folding chairs.
So aside from the 22, so you have 47 chairs that are meant for your employees. Is that what you're saying today?
No, 22.
Because if Mr. Bubinick said that there were 118 seats that were occupied that day, so that's 22 extra chairs.
Right.
And then that there were 25 additional chairs that were folded on the sides. So 25 plus 22 is 47. So I am wondering why you have 47 extra chairs in a place that has a capacity of 96 seats.
I don't know anything about these. It's 25 unused folded chairs?
That's what Mr. Bubinick testified to.
In total, there were 118 just regular chairs in the front of house. So there were some regular chairs pushed off to the side, and in addition to that, there were some folding chairs, 25, that were folded up but still in the front of house.
When you say front of house, meaning?
I mean the area where patrons are.
Were you going to say something?
Yeah, we removed the table and the chairs outside the restaurant. Right,
and
usually.
No, I understand that you corrected it, but what I'm concerned about, aside from the fact that you had more seats, you were over your license capacity, not only in seats but in terms of maximum as well. But you also have your counselors presenting an argument about these parties being larger, and then you taking the chairs that you usually use for your employees in the back to fold the linens and all that stuff. But then if I count the extra seats that you had that night occupied, in addition to the extra seats that were folded, that means you have 47 extra chairs.
Yeah, I think probably it's like, I think it's 20 something for the walkers, but at night, probably because the big party and the waiter or somebody else grabbed some chairs from other restaurant, the folding chairs, just borrowed for a while. I'm not sure about that because
I wasn't there. They don't have outdoor seating, so there's no outdoor seating, do they?
No.
They do not.
How long has the establishment been in business?
About 5 years. 4 years. 4 years something. About 5 years.
Since 2014.
Right. There has never been an overcapacity charge. In fact, the conflict, the challenge that are faced here is the waiting, the patrons waiting. There's a vestibule area, and I can recall having conversations since the vestibule isn't part of the licensed premises in the cold weather. Can people stand in the vestibule? And candidly, they do. And part of the reason they do that is because those people are otherwise standing on the sidewalk, and they were obstructing the sidewalk, they were creating conflict with the residential tenants. I know Ms. Lent is familiar with this because she has mediated some of the complaints regarding patrons waiting on the sidewalk. So as for the additional folding chairs, I understand the question. Factually, it's not something I was aware of, but I think the facts of the case show additional chairs, and we can see that there are additional chairs. It is not a standard practice. The representation by the owner and the manager is that it was a one-off event occurring as a result of a larger than expected capacity on a reservation.
The common vestibule, does that also serve the residential portion of the building?
No, not the residential portion, but there is it's a good question. There's a retail space beyond this that accesses, but that space has been vacant now for over a year, so it isn't blocking. But I think when that space is occupied, how that vestibule area gets used may be a question. It's the second means of egress for the adjacent retail space.
So prior to that night, how many times would you bring chairs from the back to the front?
Have you done this in the past where when you're overcrowded you simply bring out chairs from the kitchen and seat people beyond the 96?
I don't remember, but I know it's very less.
It's very little.
Yeah, very little. That night it's very crowded, very busy than usually.
Can I ask Investigator Ruben two questions. One, did you differentiate between how many of that 136 total were seated and how many were waiting to eat?
No, I also counted people that were waiting to be seated. Both in, there's sort of a breezeway, and then there's another bench right by the host stand. All those people were counted.
So you just put them all to the total?
Yes.
Also, did you notice any measures that the staff were taking to count patrons that night?
I did not.
What is the...
did you ask that they were they counting?
I did not ask if they had a count.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, Commissioner, it's a restaurant, so the counts is usually established by the seats. In this case, they exceeded the seats, so I don't think we would suggest that we were unaware that we were over, there was affirmative actions taken to place these seats there. So, but it is not, I don't even think they, people do, simply don't come in and have a drink. If you come in, you sit at a table.
I'm familiar with it, and I understand your argument as well.
Discipline history?
No, they have been open since late 2014, and they have had no disciplinary history. There are a couple of letters, as counselor represented, from the landlord and the condo association with regard to patrons waiting.
And if I'm correct, I heard you
but
say
the board did not
counselor
take action on those.
State earlier that you already applied to alter.
We are in the process, okay. Candidly. We just, when this occurred, it prompted. So we probably have that within the next week or so. But we're looking at both the issue of addressing the occupancy and whether there's an opportunity for additional seating, because there is this area, it looks like perhaps another 6 or 8 seats could go there. We just have to make sure that the egress paths are not impeded, but it does appear to be an opportunity on that plan. But as you know, the architect and the building code would be relevant in terms of whether that could happen.
I would say based on the disciplinary history
right now, we also
the disciplinary history or the lack thereof, and council has represented they're in the they've initiated the process to amend the license, and I think his point about capacity versus seats, the numbers, and I do acknowledge that the license is the license with respect to capacity, but it's somewhat nonsensical. I would say issue a warning. That would be my recommendation.
I would vote for a violation. And although I understand all of the arguments and everything, based on the floor plan and everything that we have, the number of seats, the number of chairs, I was going to say a one day, I would, based on your vote, I could be swayed to do a one day held in abeyance for 6 months.
I say we go to warning route and then let them amend the occupancy, let them at least apply to amend, but I'd say a warning based on the fact that they got no disciplinary history.
Okay. I would also, as part of that warning, encourage them to get the extra folding table, chairs, etc., off the premises.
I think they testified that those have been taken.
They've been removed already?
There are some for the employees, but the number here, I understand the point. They don't have 40 employees.
Right.
Okay, so it's a 2-to-1 violation warning. My dissent is one day held in abeyance for 6 months. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Do you have a copy of the plan?
I'll give it back to you.
Yeah, I can send you one of you. You probably have one upstairs.
We have one upstairs. I just didn't bring the entire file down. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Can you put that in the folder?
Renewal matter, Lanes and Games Incorporated, 195 Concord Turnpike. Common victualler, all alcohol license number 11675, to consider the rejection of the renewal application and or cancellation of the license for non-use in accordance with general laws, chapter 138, section 16A, 23, and 77.
Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your name for the record?
Carmen Anthony Martinetti.
And did you want to swear?
21 Badger Road, Medford.
Raise your right hand, please. Swear the testimony you're about to give to be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
May take a seat. Thank you. Mr. Marinetti, the last time you were here, you informed us that that you were trying to sell the license, and that you had contacted a couple of brokers, and that you were trying to sell it on your own. Is that correct?
Yes, that's true.
Have you been able to consummate a sale or PNS or anything of that nature?
No, I have not.
Do you intend to move the license and use it yourself?
I have tried to convince my nephews my brother Dan, my partner's sons. However, they decided to opt for a location in Malden. I have contacted a couple of brokers. None of them are interested in handling the case, saying that there is no market now due to the change in climate. I have even contacted my sons, who have five restaurant bars in Manhattan, and they are a bit reluctant to come back to Massachusetts because it would really stretch their operation a bit, going from New York to Boston on a regular basis. And to put it succinctly, I really haven't had any luck, and haven't even had interest from brokers who have, you know, are aware of the situation here. And I'm hoping that we can renew the license with the hope that in the future it might bring us an opportunity to reach a fair and equitable solution to for license holders in similar positions as mine. And I'm hoping that the longer I can renew and hold on to the license, with the city's permission, of course, the greater the chances are of reaching some sort of an agreement that would be fair for everyone.
You guys have any questions? Do you have anything else?
Wish I did.
I think based on the representations that have been given to us based as to this license in past hearings as well as this one, I see no reason to renew the license and quote-unquote keep a pocket license or a license in quote-unquote inactive status when there is no interest for the current license holder to put it to use himself, and there is no prospective person that's going to put it into use anytime soon. Seeing how there are currently available licenses, if there were to be a public need for a license of this nature to be granted, there the board has the authority to grant them. So I would vote to reject the renewal application.
Or
in the alternative, cancel the license for non-use based on the provisions of Chapter 138.
Yeah, I agree that it should be canceled for non-use.
Okay, so to be clear, I'm saying reject the renewal and or in the alternative cancel for non-use.
Cancel for non-use.
Cancel.
Okay, so I'm voting for both. I'm just saying I wanted to be clear for the record. That's what I wanted to clarify for the record. So I'm sorry, and then so you guys are just voting to cancel for non-use.
Both.
For both. Okay. Both. Okay. Thank you.
Could I make a comment, please?
Yes, sir.
I'm just wondering, this license has not been in use since August 10th of 2017, after 34 years of continuous use. Are there any other license holders in Cambridge, and it's just a point of curiosity of mine, that have had licenses that they've been holding on to longer than the roughly year and a half that we have had our license for? And if I could ask the board to have the same consideration as other people who are in similar situations as mine, who have been granted longer extensions than I have been granted to this point.
I would say thank you for your comment, and my vote stands.
I personally don't know with respect to the question you're asking. But
in terms of me, I'm deciding this case based on the facts of this case and the representations made as to this particular license.
My vote would stand.
And my vote would also stand.
Okay. Thank you. You'll receive a statement of reasons. Thank you.
Just for the record, Commissioner Bart has to leave the meeting. The meeting will proceed with just Commissioner Mahoney and myself.
Renewal matter, A.W. Chen Incorporated, doing business as Patty Chen's Dumpling Room, 907 Main Street. Common victualler, all alcohol license number 11595, to consider the rejection of the renewal application and or cancellation of the license for non-use in accordance with General Laws Chapter 138, Section 16A, 23, and 77.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Where's Raydan? Not you?
Nope.
Do you swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, please take a seat. Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your names for the record?
My name is Mark Shulman, M-A-R-C. Last name is S-H-U-L-M-A-N.
Thank you.
My name is Patrick Barrett, B-A-R-R-E-T-T.
Are you representing him as counsel?
I am not.
I thought you were on this part of it.
I will then. I'm also his landlord. I was here. I was made aware of this hearing a few days ago. And I thought it would be prudent for me to come as the owner of the property and the developer of the project at 907 Main Street.
Okay, so if this was a transfer to this location, and that has apparently been under construction for a significant period of time, and the license has not been put into use, is that correct?
That is correct.
And can you tell us what's the status? Is there an expected opening date?
Yes, we expect to complete the project by the end of the summer. The reason for the delay, the building is 151 years old. Upon entering the building with my construction crews and underpinning the foundation of the building, we encountered several issues that I would say we weren't expecting, but we weren't expecting to the degree of the grade of the foundational walls and the outer masonry walls. It took an extreme amount of time to shore the building and just to stabilize the outer member walls and to safely demo the building and keep, quite frankly, the Columbia Wall from collapsing. That had delayed us by several months. We now are back on track. The building is stabilized, all our steel is in, all our construction is moving forward as planned, and we're regaining time on our schedule.
So the expected opening date of this now is summer of 2019?
Correct. End of the summer.
This is where Toscanini's is located.
Correct. Toscanini's will also be coming back. But part of that, along with Mark and Patty, is we have fire safety, all the things we have to put back into the building, none of which existed before.
Investigator Bubinek, was this one of the locations you visited?
Yes.
And can you tell us what your observations were?
My observations was there's plywood and scaffolding on the outside. The building clearly wasn't open. I was able to take some pictures of the inside. It didn't look finished.
And did it look like it construction had happened on it?
I don't have an expertise in that. I mean, it definitely looked like there was exposed brick on the inside, so maybe some drywall had been torn down.
I can show you before and after pics. Considerable construction has been done on the site.
Okay.
We basically gutted the entire building and reintroduced a frame of steel and concrete. So what you were seeing is actually all new construction, except for the outer walls.
Okay. So is this space going, if you were looking at the building, Toscanini's was on the ground floor to the right, are you going to be to the left?
Toscanini's was, so this is the building facing Main Street, Toscanini's mm-hmm. would be right here. The original location was right here.
Oh, so you're going in the space where the Chinese restaurant used to be?
So the goal is to put them on a new space in the back of the building on top, in the new addition that's being built.
Okay.
So we will have to move, or I think we're actually in discussion right now to perhaps transfer the license at a later date to me. But Mark and Patty have been in the area for 20 plus years. My intent when I brought the project forward to both the planning board, the city, and neighbors was that I was going to keep all the local retailers that were on the floor that wanted to stay, and Mark and Patty were one.
Okay. So you expect to finish the project, meaning the construction, at the end of 2019?
Summer
of 2019. I guess my question was, is the expected date for
the license being back in use the end of the summer 2019.
Correct.
Okay. Any other questions?
No.
With that said, I would vote to accept the renewal of the license.
I would too.
Thank you.
The renewal matter for Dark Ride Media LLC doing business is the Lea Theater at 288 Green Street. As you know, we had a request from a notice from Mr. Newman that he was ill. I sent him an email asking that he provide us with a letter from his doctor, and I checked my emails, and he said that he will ask them to have one sent over.
For the record, that was an email that we received at 2:22 p.m. today. I would agree to hear this on the 30th, based on the severity of the matter at stake.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we'll move it to the 30th.
Renewal matter, BBC of Main Street, LLC, doing business as Boston Burger Company, 610 Main Street. Common Victualler, all alcohol license number 11610, to consider the rejection of the renewal application, cancellation of the license for non-use, and or revocation of the grant of the license for failure to complete the licensing process, and put the license to use in accordance with General Laws, Chapter 138, Sections 15A, 16A, 16B, 23, and 77. Raise your right hand, please. Swear the testimony you're about to give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Please take a seat. Could you please state and spell your name for the record?
Sebastian Freicia, F-R-I-C-I-A.
Thank you, Mr. Freicia. Mr. Freicia, this license is never issued. What has been the holdup with the construction and the build-out?
We just received our building permit December 13th. And we are slated to start construction February 11th. Should be, it's projected to be a 14-week build-out.
Is this a brand new building going up, or are you going into a space?
We're going into the same building as Simona. It, brand new, was built two years ago, I believe.
Okay.
Do you know why it took, what did the construction, because the construction had ended in terms of the building, correct?
Yes.
So I guess my question was specifically, what was the holdup with the construction for this space?
Honestly, I don't know. I've been paying rent for over a year there. We couldn't get a clearance of why it was being held up, the permit.
But ISD has now issued the permit.
Oh yeah, we have it now.
Mr. Bubanek, you got confirmation of that?
I got confirmation that they have the permit, or they can have construction.
Correct.
Not any sort of certificate of occupancy.
No, no, yeah. We've got construction, yeah.
And you said that you're scheduled to start on February 11th?
Correct.
Construction, and then about 14 weeks?
That's the projected build-up.
And then at that point, ready to open, provided you get all final sign-offs?
Correct.
This is an MIT real estate property?
Correct. We filed our building permit September 2017.
And it just got approved this December 13th, when you said December 13th, and 2018?
Strange.
Very. Like I said, it's pretty much put a big damper on our small business, so we've been fronting the rent for well over a year, not to mention our build-out costs have increased 30% now with steel and...
No, exactly.
Yeah, it's hit us for a little bit, but as long as we can get open, we'll hopefully make it back.
Okay. With that said, I would approve the renewal of the license.
I would. Okay, I concur.
Renewal granted. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Renewal matter, Uno Restaurants LLC, doing business as Uno Chicago Grill, 22 JFK Street. Common Victualler or All Alcohol License Number 11698 to consider the rejection of the renewal application and or cancellation of the license for non-use in accordance with General Laws Chapter 138, Section 16A, 23, and 77.
Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your name for the record?
Good afternoon, Madam Secretary. My name is George Herz, H-E-R-Z.
And you're counsel for Uno's, is that correct?
Yes, I'm Chief Administrative Officer and General Counsel for the license holder, Uno Restaurants LLC.
And Counselor, last time you were here, you told us that the negotiations between Uno's and the landlord were at a standstill. Is that the case still?
Yes, and to that point, and I've appeared before you, and last time you had also requested that I submit some documentation in connection with that, and I did. And so I would respectfully request that, you know, a time period of an additional 6 months, at which time, if this is unable to be resolved, that that would be a fair time to be able to keep the license and therefore ask for the renewal in connection therewith.
When did the restaurant close?
It closed in, I believe, December of 2016. It's gonna, I think I'll have to check my records to be sure.
And the issue with then the landlord is?
There was a subsequent litigation, summary possession action that was it was decided upon and granted in our favor, and
the landlord has done nothing with regard to it. Yeah.
And I'm not sure what the landlord's intention to do is with all that property out there. But as part of my efforts to be in a position to mitigate a resolution, that was my belief, is that to be able to have this license as part of an overall resolution of the matter would be beneficial to us.
Mm. Except the negotiations have been at a standstill since the beginning
exactly.
of 2017.
Correct.
Based on everything regarding this case and the court's decision, I would vote to reject the renewal of the license.
I would concur with that. It's been 2 years. So.
Madam Chair, if I may?
Yes, sir.
Again, is part of my request, just so, and I'm sure you heard it, but just to make sure, is that I requested a reasonable time of 6 months, if that would be possible, for you to reconsider that decision at that point in time.
Counselor, I understand your request. I also understand all of the representations that you've made to us in the past with regard to this license. I also understand that there have been no movements. With regard to either the negotiations or this license or even putting this license into use. There is nothing in the foreseeable future. And again, based on the fact that the board does have the authority to grant a license if there were the public need to issue a license of this nature at this location in the future, we have the authority. And based on the particulars of this particular matter, I say my decision stands, and I would continue to vote for the renewal to be rejected.
Thank you for
Thank
consideration.
You. Anything else? Nope, that's it.